Dear Mom and Girls, I just saw Ken Mullaney came through here in Hoi Tien and was explaining how things are going in the operations, and we told him our complaints and things. He seemed in real good health, real happy after he had seen Mrs. Mullaney apparently just recently in R&R, and looked a lot better than when I saw him in his, when he had his administrative job in Saga. He seems to be enjoying this operational command. And Mom, I just a couple of days ago got a answer to my letter to the councilman, and I'll read you that letter. February 10th, 1970, Dear Elmo, by now I'm sure you know we are absolutely the world's worst in the letter writing department. We did indeed enjoy your letter, and thank you for writing us. We want to thank you and your family for the wonderful. We want to thank you and your wonderful family for making it possible for Kathy to have such an unforgettable Christmas. Elmo, I don't know whether Kathy told you or not, but our main reason for not wanting you to become engaged at Christmas was the fact that you would have the opportunity of making sure that you were absolutely sure you wanted to marry Kathy and vice versa. Of course, we now know you both must be certain, and if you think Kathy can easily finish school, and if you marry her in December of this year, then I guess it wouldn't be very fair in asking you to wait until her graduation. As you stated, all marriages have their trials and tribulations, but if you and Kathy have enough love for each other, which I'm sure you must, then any problem is solvable. It is very difficult to put in writing our thoughts and wishes, but as you know, you and Jimmy have been like sons and hold a very special place in our hearts. So you becoming our son-in-law would be a great honor, and we know you would be wonderful to Kathy. But we hope Kathy realizes also that she must realize her spoiled and pampered years are over, and she must realistically face all her responsibilities. We've discussed this quite a lot with her, and must admit she loves you so much that she thinks that we are ridiculous in thinking she might have difficulty in learning how to do all the household chores and to be a good wife. In fact, when she returned from the Philippines, she started sewing immediately, fixed her own breakfast, and surprised us all completely that she really is quite capable and eager to learn. I called Washington Golf and Country Club to make a tentative reservation for a reception for the Saturday before Christmas, but they were booked already. You and Kathy will have to tentatively pick out a couple of dates so I can try for a reservation. Would you consider December 26th or January 2nd, both Saturdays, or possibly if you had a 10 o'clock ceremony on December 19th, Saturday before Christmas, then we might be able to get the club for a luncheon type reception. But we have to be out by 3 p.m. for the other functions being held that evening. I don't even know when Kathy's Christmas vacation starts, so all of the dates are only suggestions and tentative. But because of the difficulty of getting reservations, we will need to have a target date. Kathy had wanted to have a candlelight ceremony at night, but it seems difficult to plan this at the moment because of the club. If you and Kathy do decide to marry in December, we shall hold you to your statement that, quote, I'm willing to bet you she would actually do much better her last year academically if she were married. So your first duty after marriage will be to nag Mrs. Kathy Zumwalt into studying diligently. Elmer, we hope our thoughts and suggestions are agreeable to you. We will be glad when you return and we can sit down and talk. It's so much easier than writing the writing method. You know our prayers are with you daily, and may God continue to be good to all of us. Thank you again for your thoughtfulness in writing and for being so wonderful to Kathy.
Much love.
Much love, Fran and May Councilman. I just recently sent out a couple of tapes to Kathy asking her to seriously consider the possibility of why we don't get married right when I get back. I pointed out to her that she may feel that it's a little unfair to her parents because her parents were kind of pushed into agreeing for just over Christmas. And it also may be unfair in the respect that there's a lot of planning and a lot of things that have to be done before the wedding, obviously. And maybe having it right when I come back is a little unfair. But I don't know. I've sent tapes off to Kathy and asking her to think about this. And so that those tapes are still to come in from her. I'll let you know what the decision will make. Right now, I'm very much for going in and just getting married right when I get back. I've written a letter to my detailer asking him to get me a job, a shore job at COM3, which is the Navy District in New York. I like to be put on a staff job there. I live right there in New York, and that would be an ideal situation for getting married immediately as soon as I get back in, back to the States. Kat Mullane apparently recently talked to Dan and heard that I'd taken the law boards and was kidding. Also heard that I was going to be marrying Kathy and was kidding me about having lots of Catholic grandchildren. We had a real tragedy happen here in Ha Tien. A bunch of swift boat sailors were out getting drunk, and one guy got so drunk that apparently he fell over the side of a boat, and 3 days he was missing for 3 days, and 3 days later he came up, and his body came up, and he was drowned. And so it was a real tragic incident that occurred here. Things have been pretty quiet around here since I've been back. There's no sign of any activity, thank God. And so I've been lucky again. This candlelight service idea, Kathy's, apparently she's pretty set on it. So actually, I always think of the typical marriage where you get married during the day and then you have a reception and then you go, you know, and maybe a little more difficult this way having it at night, but since it's the way she wants to have it, I guess it'd be unfair to suggest otherwise. There's a brand new ONC that are coming into division. Several of the boats have these officers on board and are training them. I've got a guy on my boat. His name is Dave McGrath. He didn't volunteer for swift boats. He was married for 3 years, and he has a kid that's a year and a half old. So he's pretty worried about this job. It's certainly no place for a married man. I don't understand why the Navy has picked so many people here, so many officers who aren't volunteers and who are married. Seems a little unrealistic, right? I mentioned already that I wrote my detail and asked for a job in New York. If I get that job in New York, then I'm going to really push real hard to have the wedding right when I get back, because I think it'd be crazy not to be married then. If I don't get the job in New York, then it'd be a little more debatable whether I should get married immediately or wait until Christmas. So I'll have to wait and see when the Navy comes in with their decision exactly what I'll do. I'm going to shift to a completely different subject. I'm going to read you a copy of the letter that I wrote to Dr. Barnes. Before I read it to you, I want to remind you that I know Jimmy and I know Dr. Barnes, and I actually, everything that I say in this letter isn't exactly the way it is. I wrote it purposely kind of bending against Jimmy for a purpose. I figured it was probably the best thing to do in order to make Dr. Barnes realize the situation. The heading I put on is Ha Tien, Vietnam, Cambodian Border Patrol, January 27, 1970. Dear Dr. Barnes, I have been on swift boats on the rivers of Vietnam for 6 months now. A swift boat is an extremely fast gunboat with a six-man crew and an officer in charge. It is a tremendous responsibility. We have had several deaths and a great number of tragic wounds resulting in losses of arms and legs. Having the name of Zumwalt has been a real albatross around my neck. This will be a year of both tremendously satisfying and heart-sickening events. Dr. Barnes, I'm writing you because I have become concerned about things I hear from my brother. To begin with, last year, both my brother and I were shocked he didn't receive a letter. He certainly isn't the best wrestler. He certainly isn't the easiest person to deal with. He certainly has caused you some problems. Yet, how many men have there been on your wrestling team that have put in such a phenomenal amount of consistent time and effort and that have received such small reward for their drive? Has there ever been a man who is not eligible for either a letter or even the chance to be able to wrestle at a meet who spent an entire year conscientiously coming to practice day after day? Jim is an extremely sensitive person. He never tells anyone except his family what is eating him. You are his coach, and of course you alone make the decision who will get a letter. Much like the referee who makes a call, your decision is final and no one has the right to question it. Recently, my brother has been extremely hurt about a rather small wrestling incident. Apparently the team captain was hurt for a meet. A decision had to be made on who should be the team captain for the one meet the usual captain would be missing. Before the decision was made, several team members raised the question of who would be the substitute captain. The general consensus was it would be Jim. He, after all, was the only other senior on the team and had been on the wrestling team a good amount of time. You decided to make a junior team captain for the meet. Apparently several of the team members asked him if he knew why. He stated he didn't. Jim was hurt. He felt that he certainly had at least put in enough effort to deserve the slight honor of being captain for a meet. It seems to me that he had at least put in sufficient effort not to deserve the embarrassment of having a junior vice a senior be the choice. Sure, Jim has made his mistakes. He doesn't pretend to think he is the perfect wrestler. Yet I know of many wrestlers who have quit the team for a while, who later return to obtain both breaks and small rewards. Is a man who puts in more consistent effort, yet who may be a weaker wrestler, not capable of receiving some of the same rewards? Sir, I have a great respect for you, both as a professor and as a man. I have backed you to the hilt when my brother has asked for reasons why. I told him long before he came to Carolina that he should come to this school because of the man who is a wrestling coach. He has put a tremendous amount of effort into wrestling. I know you are not aware of how he has been hurt. I know that I am not aware of the entire spectrum of problems, reasons, and causes involved. Yet I do know my brother. I do know Dr. Barnes. I am puzzled. I do feel bad that Jim is upset. I don't expect you to treat Jim any differently than you would any other wrestler. I don't expect you to reverse the referee's call. I am not questioning your judgment or reasons. I am very close to my brother, And if it is at all possible, I would appreciate it if you would tell me where Jim has wandered off the proper course. Jim would be shocked if he knew I had written you. Please don't let him realize I have done so. I believe if I could be more aware of his misdeeds, I would be better able to make him understand. I hope you don't feel I am searching for a knowledge I have no right to know. I will also promise not to tell Jim about our correspondence. I realize the complexity of the problems and frustrations a coach has. He cannot be expected to baby or gently handle each team member. Thank you very much for your time and understanding. Very respectfully, Alma.